أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله we began the 30th chapter of the glorious Quran and by tomorrow inshallah al-aziz we will do the khatm al-Quran may Allah azza wa jal accept everything that has been recited and everything that has been listened and understood. Ameen. Generally, whenever we do a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're asking one of two things. Either we're asking for something, oh Allah, give me this, give me this, give me this, etc. Or we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against something. So one is to ask to give, and one is to ask to keep away. And today, inshallah, al-Aziz, we'll do a dua, which is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to give you these five particular things. And this is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which I have not come across before. So subhanallah, I've learned something new. And it just goes to show that no matter how old you are, you should constantly be in a state of learning and improving and increasing your knowledge. So this is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he sought the refuge, i.e. the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from five particular things. Just like every time we say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ we're seeking the refuge, the protection of Allah away from the shaitan because of his mischievous nature and because of his objectives. So these five things are also similarly quite dangerous and potent if we do not do the ta'awuz from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this particular hadith, he mentions, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. I'll translate that for in a moment. Wa min zawjin tushayyibuni qabla al-mashib, which is a bit of a tricky word. Wa min waladin yakunu alayya rabban. Wa min malin yakunu alayya azaban. وَمِنْ خَلِيلٍ مَاكِرٍ عَيْنُهُ تَرَانِي وَقَلْبُهُ يَرْعَانِي إِنْ رَأَى حَسَنَةً دَفَنَهَا وَإِذَا رَأَى سَيِّئَةً أَذَاعَهَا. So which is a very, very powerful hadith, and inshallah I'll translate that now. So the first, the Prophet ﷺ sought refuge from five things. And the first of which was, O Allah, I seek your refuge from having an evil neighbor. Inshallah, we'll expand upon this. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ asked, O Allah, I seek your refuge from having a spouse who turns my hair gray before the time of gray hair. Everybody's probably looking at their hair now. This is the second refuge. But, O Allah, the third one, I seek your refuge from having a child who is acting as my Lord over me. And then the fourth one, O Allah, I seek your refuge from wealth, which becomes a punishment upon me, i.e. causes me torture. And then the final one, O Allah, I seek your refuge from having a close friend who is deceitful, whose eye watches me and his heart is mindful of me, such that if he sees something good from me, he buries it, he conceals it. And if he sees something evil from me, he immediately broadcasts it. These are the five things which are very, very powerful, which we'll quickly, inshallah, Aziz, unpack. So the first thing where the Prophet ﷺ said, O Allah, I seek your refuge from having an evil neighbor. And in Arabic there is a saying, Al-jar qabla ad-dar, that the most important thing before a house is actually your neighbor. Your neighbor. How many of us go to Rightmove, go to various other websites, etc., go to our agents and say, we want this type of house. We want the curb appeal, we want it to look beautiful, it needs to be detached, it needs to have a driveway, it needs to have bay windows, it needs to have all of these beautiful things. And inside it needs to be like this, and it needs to have a garden, an extension, etc. We look at all of these things, but never for one moment do we ever ask the agent, or we do we go and inquire about what type of neighbor will we have? The neighbor to your right and the neighbor to your left. What if you have an evil neighbor? What if you have a neighbor with a dog who is constantly barking, going into your garden and into your home? A neighbor who is constantly drunk and then is causing damages to you and your sukoon and your home, and showcasing to your children that this is how our lives are. Or a neighbor who is abusive to his own family members or abusive to the children. What will be the benefit of that house if you have such a horrible, evil neighbor? So the most important thing whenever we're seeking a home is, rather than the home itself, to make sure that we have good neighbors on your right and to your left. So having a bad neighbor is very, very detrimental to the well-being, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual well-being of an individual. So the Prophet ﷺ sought refuge from having an evil neighbor. So we should just go reflect on the houses that we have purchased or the neighbors that we have. And if you have good neighbors, then you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depths of your heart, because this is a great ni'mah. And one of the great ni'mahs that the Prophet ﷺ mentions is to have a mar'a salihah, you know, a pious and righteous woman, spouse, and also to have a good neighbor. Because these two things, internally your spouse and externally your neighbor, will make your home and make your life so much more peaceful and tranquil. Whereas if you have one of these two who are evil within themselves, no sukoon inside the home and no sukoon outside the home as well. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions is, "Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from having a spouse who turns my hair grey before the time of grey hair." This is a very interesting one. Now, this doesn't necessarily indicate towards women turning the hair of men grey, but it works both ways, because the Prophet ﷺ used the term here, zawj, not mar'a, but rather zawj, so a partner, a spouse that the Prophet ﷺ here was mentioning. And one thing the Prophet ﷺ mentions also is that a righteous spouse is one of the best ni'mas in the dunya that you can ever receive, having a righteous, pious spouse who encourages you to do good towards khair, keeps you on the track and the deen of Islam. So having a spouse who is constantly nagging you, we don't need to point fingers which way it happens, whether it's this side or that side. The point is, having a spouse, whether it be a male or a female, who is constantly nagging you day and night, constantly, it's not a peaceful life. Having a spouse who's constantly pushing you to say, buy this and buy this and buy these things, which is beyond your capacity, beyond your means, things that you cannot afford. Constantly one who is backbiting, constantly one who is gossiping and say, look at this person, look at that person, they did this and they did that, why are we not doing this? We have nothing in the home. All of these things, these are some of the reasons which causes a person to have white hair before the time is up for white hair. So instead of having white hair in the late 50s, you end up having white hair in your late 20s perhaps, or even earlier than that. So this is another thing the Prophet ﷺ sought refuge in. وَمِن زَوْجٍ تُشَيِّبُنِي قَبْلِ الْمَشِيبِ. Then the third thing the Prophet ﷺ mentions is a very profound one. And this is very important for those people who are married and also for those people who have children. وَمِن وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ رَبًّا. And this is very profound, because I see this before my own eyes, with so many people coming to me and saying, this is what's happening within our homes and this is how our child is treating us and behaving with us. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from having a child who acts as the lord of the house. The child is the master and the parents are the slaves. Whatever the child dictates, whether they're tantrum or shouting or screaming, the child is hitting their own parents and doing so much. The child is the lord of the house and the parents are the servants of the house. So seeking refuge in certain type of child. So remember, try to remember your own upbringing. We never even used to look into the eyes of our parents when they used to come into the room. We used to have our heads down. We never even used to raise our voices if we were ever talking and our parents were in the same room. We never used to interrupt our parents. Whatever they said, and that's it, we listened to it and that's it. But now fast forward and ask yourselves, what is the state within our homes? The children are looking eye to eye with the parents. The children are saying, you are jahil, you are ignorant, you don't know anything. You don't know anything, you're backwards. The children are answering back to their parents. The children are being argumentative and confrontational in every single aspect. And at times, the children are the one who are pushing their parents, who are slapping their parents. And this is a great fitrah, this is a great azab, this is a great test for that family. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, وَمِنْ وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ رَبًّا, that that child which becomes a master over me. Because we are the people who do dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, grant us righteous, pious partners and also beautiful children who will become the coolness of our eyes. Sukoon, you know, the apple of my eye. These are some of the terms that we have when we look at our children, and they give us so much satisfaction. And this day and age, we look at our children and they make us so angry, so infuriated that we just want to slap them around. But we can't even do that because we know they'll be the first ones to call the social services and the police, and then pure the mad jail. This is the opposite nature of what is happening, and the reality is, even though we should be the masters within our homes, but now our children are becoming the masters and we are the servants, the slaves. So this is a very, very powerful thing. And if anybody is undergoing these circumstances, they should be doing this dua profusely again and again, asking Allah Azza wa Jal for a good neighbor, for a good partner. Because look at how all of these flow on from to the next. And then from a child who behaves in such a ridiculous manner towards their parents and forgets to realize that these children are not even allowed to say oof to a parent, not even allowed to grunt, not even allowed to object in these kind of matters, should be always humble and listen to their parents in the utmost respect manner. But now, unfortunately, we see the Prophet ﷺ prophesied that there will come a time where children will become the masters of their home. Parents are scared. Teachers are scared within the schools to say anything to the child. Parents are also scared to even raise their voice, let alone raise their hand. This is the Prophet ﷺ mentioning this. Seek the refuge of Allah from such a child. And similarly, in other hadith towards the end of time, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that there will come a time where our children, your children, will become excessively angry for no reason. Now if you just reflect in community in our children, just angry all the time. The internet goes, they're angry. The phone's not working, they're angry. They don't have their type of best food or clothes or anything that they ask for and demand instantly, they get angry. They slam the doors, they shout and scream, huff and puff. This is not the way we should be raising our children, and not the way certainly how children should be behaving. We have been brought up in a way of adab, of ihtaram for our elders, and the ihsanat of our parents we will never be able to fulfill. Never be able to fulfill. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala mentions that even if an individual, a child, you know, and a grown adult, were to take his mother upon his shoulders, carry her and perform the tawaf, perform the umrah, and even complete all of the rites of hajj, even after all of that, he would not be able to repay one night of service that his mother did for him. One night of sacrifice that the mother or father did for them. Yet these are the children who are saying, what do you ever do for me? They should think 100,000 times before making such statements and realize the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined us to worship Him and to always be dutiful towards our parents. This is a very, very important thing, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such children. And then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions the fourth thing, to protect us from wealth that becomes a form of punishment. How can wealth become a form of punishment? Because we think we have wealth, we have money, we can buy whatever we want, whether it's a new car, a new phone, etc., etc. We can, you know, have luxuries of the dunya and spend lavishly on ourselves and our family. Wealth can't surely be a punishment, but it is. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. This is a verse, explicit verse of the Quran till eternity, that verily your wealth and your children are a great fitna for you. Great fitna, i.e. a trial for you, a constant trial, not just a day or tomorrow, but constantly. As long as you have wealth, you'll always be tested and trialed by Allah Azza wa Jal. As long as you have children, you'll always be trialed and tested. You think your children are cute when they're young, but you are undergoing so many trials of nappies, of sleepless nights, and so many other things. Those children grow up, you know, when they're young, you're so happy to teach them to speak. You know,
Say this, say Baba, say Dada, say Ammi, say Abu, and then you teach them to speak. And then there comes a time that you just tell them to shut up, because now you regret teaching them to speak, because all they do is just talk and bakwas, and they answer back to you as well. So these are very profound things. So anyway, so the wealth is a fitna. Your children are a fitna. How can your wealth become a great fitna for you? Because when you accumulate so much wealth, you know, it was recited, was it tonight, غالباً وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. This is how deeply engrossed you are in gaining wealth and accumulation of wealth. So much so that it blinds you and it blinds your heart. So wealth, which becomes a form of punishment, how so? Because it occupies your mind to such a degree that I have to make this money, I have to make this, I have to do this, I have to do that. You end up neglecting your salah. You end up neglecting your relationships with your family members. You end up missing your Jumu'ah. You end up missing all of your other things. And then you end up going towards the haram just because you have this dire, this addiction, this severe addiction to wealth and the accumulation of wealth that you want more and more and more. This is how your wealth can become an azab and a punishment for you in your dunya as well as your akhirah, because it's taking you away from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is taking you away from the halal. It is taking you towards your own destruction and darkness. And just by having so much wealth, then you end up, you know, thinking so many times that, is this person my true friend? Or is he only with me because I can buy him such and such thing? Is he only with me because he knows I'm loaded? Is he only with me because he knows I can take him out and treat him and do all of these other things? Are my relatives really sincere with me? Or do they only maintain their land then with me because they know that when the time comes, I'll help them out? And more importantly, when you're accumulating so much wealth, doesn't matter, Fajr goes, Zuhr goes, Asr goes, Maghrib goes, Isha goes, Jummah to Jummah goes, Eid to Eid goes, it doesn't matter, you're just so focused in accumulating that wealth that you lose yourself. And that wealth that you pursue becomes one of the gravest punishments for you. In the verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that your wealth will be in the form of a snake wrapped around you, and it will be, you know, biting you and say, this is what you used to accumulate, kao, mojkaro, enjoy this, the wealth that you used to accumulate so much. So we should always seek the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal from wealth that consumes us and takes us away. And my father always used to say, Allah, thora de, sutra de, that, you know, you should have little, but you should have good. You know, it should be wholesome, it should be beneficial for you. You don't need a huge amount of wealth to survive in this dunya. You don't need a huge wealth. You don't need a massive house. You don't need everything on finance. You don't need cars on finance. You don't need multiple properties. You don't need the latest gadgets and everything. You need a simple roof over your head. You need a simple place to sleep. You will need to have one or two rotis a day. Simple food will suffice you. You don't need to have a wardrobe full of clothes and every season throwing away the old clothes and 200-300 pound shoes. It absolutely astounds me how I see youngsters and they say, this is 300 pound shoes, these are 500 pound shoes, and they look like chaparasi, you know, like shoes that you could find for, you know, for a pound or two, you know, shoes that, you know, beggars wear in Pakistan, and you're paying 200-300 pounds. This jacket is 100 pounds. It's absolutely ridiculous how much israf we do on clothes, how much we waste with food and so many other things. We are here not to live in the dunya. We are here just to live through the dunya. We're not here for the dunya. We're here for something far greater. We're just passing through. And we accumulate so much junk and wealth in our lives that it will drown us. All of these things will drown us and cause our own destruction. So protect us from wealth that consumes us, our jobs that consume us, and wealth that takes us away from the halal, takes us towards haram, takes us away from Allah, and takes us towards the shaitan and the dunya. From a child that becomes our Rabb, our Lord. From a spouse that causes us to turn grey, gives us, takes away all of our sukoon. From a neighbour who causes us so much pain and suffering. And then finally, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, from a khaleel. And this is quite significant, because the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam doesn't mention that, oh Allah, I seek refuge from a sadiq, or from a rafiq, or from a sahib. No, specifically khaleel. And the reason why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions khaleel, because a khaleel is somebody who's completely interlaced and very intricate. You know, when we wash our hands, we do takhleel. Or when we do our beard, we do khilal. What does that basically mean? You get your fingers and you put them all the way through your beard. And when washing your hands, your fingers go between the other fingers. This is what it means. This is how close those individuals are. They're an intricate part of your life, this particular friend. And even if you want to get rid of them, you can't, because they're so close to you in one way or another. So the Prophet ﷺ mentions that from this type of friend, وَمِنْ خَلِيلٍ مَاكِرٍ, from this type of friend who is deceitful in reality, that, you know, he shows that he's close to you and, you know, he wants the best for you, etc., but internally he's actually quite deceitful, and all he's doing is just waiting for you to make a mistake, and then he's ready to laugh at you, he's ready to laugh at your misfortune, he's ready to showcase the entire world that, oh, look at what he did. How stupid is he? How idiotic is he? And whenever this individual sees anything good that you do, look at the word the Prophet ﷺ uses very, very explicitly. إِنْ رَآ حَسَنَةً دَفَنَهَا. Dafan comes from what? Burying. We've just buried somebody today. You know, literally burying anything, so there's no nishan, no nothing whatsoever that you did something good. This is that type of friend who will conceal all of your good deeds and bury anything good that you do, i.e. he will never show a positive image of you. Never show a positive image of you. But any time you do evil, any mistake, any shortcoming, any lacking, any small, you know, transgression that you do, he will broadcast it openly. Do ilan. This is the word the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions. وَإِذَا رَآ سَيِّئَةً أَذَاءَهَا. Azar is, you know, in Arabic when it's to broadcast, just like the radio, it broadcasts internationally or wherever it may be. And this is your so-called friend just waiting for you to pounce on you to see whether you make that mistake. And they go, aye, come here, I'll tell you, this is what he did, this is what he did, this is what he was doing. So these are the type of friends may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from. They're not truly your friends. They're actually your dushmans, your gravest, your closest, you know, even they're closest to you, but they are the worst type of enemies. So it's a very, very powerful and profound hadith, which I haven't come across before, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to seek refuge from having an evil neighbor, from seeking refuge from a spouse who completely, you know, drains us physically and makes our hair turn white before its due time, from having a child who is acting as our lord over us, from wealth which becomes a form of punishment for us, and from a friend who is actually deceitful and waiting for our destruction and loss, and waiting for the opportunity to broadcast to the world all of our misfortunes and our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from all of these.